Culture.
Book Review. The British Elite. Rich People's Problems. An engrossing but flawed takedown of Britain's most privileged class. Born to Rule, by Aaron Reeves and Sam Friedman.
Sir Peter Danielle went to Eton College, a grand private school favoured by royals and the rich. He was not a strong pupil, but was admitted to the University of Oxford in 1927 after his cousin had a quiet word with a college. Danielle had a wonderful time there, doing almost no work, then took a job in his father's financial firm. Did he feel at all guilty about his gilded upbringing? Certainly not. Meritocratic ideas were damned stupid, he later said, and nepotism was harmless. Anybody expressing such views today would be laughed out of the room, including by other privileged people. In Born to Rule, Aaron Reeves and Sam Friedman, two British academics, describe how their country's elites have changed since the 19th century, becoming cleverer and better at presenting themselves as ordinary. The book, flush with the research, including more than 200 interviews, is superb, although, like Danielle, the authors make the mistake of expressing their views too frankly. The elite can be defined in many different ways. Mr. Reeves and Mr. Friedman adopt an extremely narrow measure. Their elite consists of people who have been listed in Who's Who, a guide to the powerful, first published in 1849 and updated annually. At the moment, this group has around 33,000 members. The authors are especially interested in a subgroup, the wealthy elite, with only 6,000 members, 0.01% of the British population. The great advantage of using Who's Who as a yardstick is that you can see how the top dogs have changed. Much of Born to Rule is about this transformation, which is startling. The elite used to be thick with clerics and military men. These days there are lots of lawyers and media figures. Women, who were excluded from Who's Who until 1897, make up one-third of new entrants. Elites are also increasingly well-educated. More than a third went to Oxford or Cambridge, a share that has changed little since the 19th century, despite the rapid growth of other universities. Attending Oxbridge means something quite different these days. Elites used to slide into universities on the strength of their connections, chuck a few bread rolls about, and then ease into good jobs. These days they work hard to get in, and often work hard while they are there. Top private schools, which supply the elite with an alarmingly large share of members, though less than in the past, are academically excellent. Above all, elites now present themselves differently. They claim to be working class, even when they are not. Their hobbies are now more like everyone else's. In the 19th century, the elite favoured golf, hunting and riding. In the 20th century, they took a serious interest in art and literature. More recently, they have mixed high culture with popular pursuits. Anthony Giddens, an influential sociologist, listed his interests as theatre, cinema, playing tennis, supporting Tottenham Hotspur. The authors believe that this is a pose intended to make powerful and privileged people appear normal. They seem not to like their subjects much, arguing that elites oppress working people. After all, they write, elites have cut welfare and undermined trade unions, among other sins. This is true, yet meaningless. Such things are done by senior politicians who are members of the elite, simply by virtue of their jobs. It would be equally true to say that the elite created the post-war welfare state and introduced the minimum wage. In their conclusion, Mr. Friedman and Mr. Reeves suggest some ways of disrupting the British elite. They argue that Cambridge and Oxford should be obliged to recruit at random from regional pools of top students, and that the House of Lords ought to be replaced with a randomly appointed Senate. Those sound like excellent ways of diminishing two of Britain's shrinking number of world-class institutions and enhancing the already huge power of the House of Commons. And for what? The elites described in Born to Rule are too posh and too good at replicating themselves, but hardly toxic. The authors surveyed members of Who's Who and discovered that they tend to hold rather sensible, centrist views. Their attitudes to taxing and spending are about average, and they are more likely than others to believe that feminism is necessary. They also seem to be growing more left-wing. Perhaps they are not just pretending to be normal.